The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.
And if you're just switching on, you are very welcome to the programme indeed. Now, this time next month, polling stations will have opened for the 2016 Assembly elections, almost upon us. 108 MLAs will be elected yet again. Last time they're going for 108. The turnout in the 2011 Assembly election was 54.7%. That was down on the 2007 election, which saw 62.3% of those eligible to vote exercising their right to do so. And this time around, why should we bother? If you're completely fed up with the politicians that we have, should you decide to make a point by simply not voting at all? One in two people have already made that decision. They don't vote. Commentator Malachy O'Doherty certainly will be voting, and he's on this line. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Those are quite shocking statistics you just quoted, and you know, you're right, they're correct. Nearly half of people don't vote at all. That means that a governing party like Sinn Féin or the DUP, which takes in, you know, around about, I think, 20, 25 to 30% of that vote, is getting a quarter to a sixth of a half of the vote, right? A quarter to a third of a half of the vote. So that's about a sixth of the entire electorate of Northern Ireland. That's the registered voters are enough to put a party in, you know, into the leadership of Northern Ireland, into the First Minister or Deputy First Minister's seat.
Can we presume, Malachy, that if the other half of the population voted, that Sinn Féin and the DUP would get their equal share like they do from the first half?
No, you can't, because it doesn't work statistically. It doesn't work like a representative sample in statistics. If we want to go out and find out who wants a certain type of toothpaste, we can take a representative random sample of 1,000 people, and we can extrapolate from that to talk about a market of tens of thousands of millions of people. That's routine in polling, but polling is different from an election. In an election, the sample is not random. The sample is the people, I presume, you know, with the strongest commitment on the day. That's who they are. So what you've got is you cannot therefore say that the few thousand who go out and vote for one party would, you know, represent a broader swathe that's much, much larger than that. You can't say that at all. But what you can say is that you've got nearly half the population of Northern Ireland are turned off to politics. Now, Pete Sherlow, an academic, has done research. I was reading a wee bit about it yesterday. On why people aren't voting, and he finds a range of motivations. But for instance, within large sections of that non-voting population, there are people who, if they did vote, would take a much more liberal position. In other words, they're just cheesed off with the structures of government here. They're cheesed off with the two communities model. They're cheesed off with a political system that which produces reproduces conservative attitudes. So we end up with stentorian legislation on abortion, on gay rights, and so on, and they're just saying, there's nothing I can do to change that. So why bother? I'm not going to encourage them. I'm going to walk away from this. But I mean, a vote is a small thing, but thousands of votes together are a big thing, and thousands of votes together of people who really don't like the system just being withdrawn from the system are making a huge difference. They're making a massive difference. The reality is that there are a lot of people who are sick to the back teeth of Sinn Féin and the DUP, of the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP and the Alliance Party. They're sick looking at them, and they're sick hearing their old conservative ideas and attitudes, and they would rather that there was something different.
So on the back of that, are you saying if there was a 90% turnout, there'll never be a 100% turnout, but if there was a 90% turnout, that we would have entirely different people in the executive?
Yes, I think that's at least that is a very strong proposition. No one can prove it. I can't prove it. But, I mean, certainly the research into the attitudes of the non-voter do suggest that.
The parties, of course, would be shouting at the radio. Of course, Malachy O'Doherty's wrong. If we're getting, 25% of the electorate that turn out, we're going to get 25% of the next bunch that turn out. We're the market leaders in this. They'll refute your analysis of how polling works.
Polling is different from the election. There was a brilliant article in The Observer on Sunday there by Andrew Ronsley. And Andrew Ronsley was looking at the pattern of voting in the last general election in Britain. and extrapolating from that to the Brexit vote in June, the question of whether we leave the European Union. He says that if you poll among young people, you find that they take a much more liberal view, right? But they don't show up on the day. They don't vote. You know, they don't meet the responsibility to vote. And therefore, by default, the people with a more conservative position can. The Tories had a fraction, a minor fraction. I don't have the figure in front of me, so I'm not going to risk guessing what it was. But they had a very small... no way did they have a majority of the vote in the United Kingdom, you know, even within those polls, even among the electorate who actually turned up. And therefore, all, you know, extend that to include all those young people who told pollsters, oh, we hate the Tories, we would never vote for them, and then don't bother voting for anybody. And they're the ones who open the door and let the Tories take in, go in and take power. You know, and what's going to happen, what Ronsley is saying, is the danger is these very same demographic are saying to pollsters, oh, we want to stay in the European Union. But they won't get out of bed on the day of the vote.
Well, they get out of bed. There's one thing for sure. They get out of bed on the day of the vote in Fermanagh South Tyrone. I'm just looking at the turnout last time. It was almost 70% of the people in Fermanagh South Tyrone actually voted. Whereas in Strangford, it was less than 48%. The Strangford people have a particularly low interest in voting, as do the people of North Down. Only 45% of the people in North Down voted. Yeah. Now, why is it that the North Downians are so blasé, but the Fermanagh South Tyroneans are mad keen for it?
Well, in Fermanagh South Tyrone, it's a borderline constituency. You know, it can be Sinn Féin can take it or they can lose it on a margin. The unionists can get it back on a margin, and that was what they did. So it's finely balanced. Therefore, the parties work a lot harder to get the vote out, and B, the people who care about these things care more because they feel they can lose more. So I suppose that's what makes the difference in a constituency like that.
Yeah, but your argument earlier about, you know, we could change the executive if there was 90% turnout. There's a 70% turnout in Fermanagh South Tyrone, and we always know it's between a unionist and a Republican.
Yeah, and that is because very people are voting so much here as well to keep the other side out rather than because they particularly believe very strongly in the party that they're voting for, you know. And we have to break it. We have to break that pattern. And the only way to break it is to vote for what you really want. If you can see somebody in that lineup who represents, whether it be the Greens or the Alliance or People Before Profit or whoever it is, but if you see people that you agree with, who are saying the things that you want to hear said, and even though you know they haven't got a baldy of taking the seat, vote for them.
You see, that's part of it, isn't it? People who think there's somebody there that they fancy the policies, it's hardly worth the bother, because we see him on the television, he'll have 282 votes. You know, it's almost a laugh.
People will, you know, well, it's almost a laugh, but it's an element of encouragement to keep them going. And Jerry Carroll, for instance, in West Belfast, did very well. He will get a seat in West Belfast in the assembly election.
Well, you're now predicting as opposed to well, lobbying. I hasten to add.
Yeah. You're finding all these contradictions in what I'm saying. No, I'm not. Well, I'm predicting from the figures.
Yes, yeah.
From the figures that he will get a seat.
Well, one other question, Malachy. The Brexit's coming up as well, not long after the vote on Europe. Do you think in Northern Ireland there'd be a greater turnout on that, yes or no, than there will be at the Assembly elections?
That's a good question. I would think that people will look at that and they will say, look, this is going to be, you know, there are four countries in the United Kingdom, and one of them is 10 times the size and population of any of the others, you know, and that's England. And it's really the English voter that will make the difference. And a lot of people might say, well, you know, that's it. The interesting question is, if you see by the vote, for instance, that Wales or Scotland or Northern Ireland really want to stay in, and an exit vote is carried by the English voter, by, you know, that section of the electorate, Then what does that do to relations between the countries of the United Kingdom? Certainly, I think it would incline the Scottish to thinking of leaving the United Kingdom. On the other hand, if the English find that their vote pretty much makes the balance, makes the cut for a Brexit, but that the balance is tipped by a Scottish vote against it, then they're going to be very annoyed about that. So I think there will be strains and tensions with between the four countries of the United Kingdom when that vote is parsed and analysed.
Okay, final question, Maliki. Is there a moral imperative on us to exercise our franchise?
Yes, I think so. I do think so. I mean, moral's a big word, you know. But I think we have bad government, you know. We have bad government at the national level, and we have bad government locally. You know, there's no way that when I particularly see the votes on social issues like abortion and gay rights, and there will be more because there are other issues come along. You know, I just have a sinking feeling in the stomach every time. I just feel this is, you know, there are times I don't feel at home here, and I wonder how it is that. That the people produce parties which make such idiotic decisions and restrictive decisions and conservative decisions. And then I look at the turnout and the vote, and I say, well, that's how it's done. It's not even the majority will of the people of Northern Ireland that we should be governed in this way.
Yeah. I'm looking at the figures, it's almost that the majority stay at home.
I think it might just be a fraction.
The majority actually do vote, but it's more or less 50-50.
Maybe this time it will be the majority that will stay at home, and still those parties will claim the legitimacy to govern and to represent the people of Northern Ireland.
Okay, Maliki O'Doherty, thank you very much indeed, Maliki.